I'm Debbie Pierce, and I was key hairstylist on The Office.
I'm Kim Ferry, and I was the department head for The Office.
Hello, everybody. Oh, you're going to love this one. First off, welcome to another installment of The Office Deep Dive. I am your host, Brian Baumgartner. The studio is crowded today, people. I am bringing you my conversation with the other half of our hair and makeup crew, the hair department of The Office. Now, if you haven't already, go listen to my interview with The Office's head makeup artist, Laverne Caracuzzi, because we make a few references to that conversation here. But then be sure to come right back to hear more fascinating behind-the-scenes stories from my very good friends, Debbie Pierce and Kim Ferry. Now, having Debbie and Kim in the studio, it was like getting a warm hug. I mean, when you think about it, I spent an entire decade of my life working with the two of them, and they really are extraordinary people to work with. They brought a brand new perspective to the beauty of the office conversation. Like, you won't believe how long it took to make sure Meredith's bald cap looked, well, bald. And the thought that went into Pam's hair evolution, I truly had no idea. The care and concern that these women gave not only to the show, the plot, the crew, but also to each other in really difficult times of their lives. It's nothing short of astounding. We were lucky to have them on set then, and, well, we're so lucky to have them on the podcast now. Now, maybe that's enough tooting of their horns for now. I think our conversation really speaks for itself. So get ready to be blown away. It's like the hair dryer blown away. Anyway, the wonderful geniuses that made up the hair department of The Office, Debbie Pierce and Kim Ferry.
Bubble and squeak, I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every moment left over from the night before.
Oh my God!
So good to see you.
It's so good to see you.
Oh, there you go. Oh my God! How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Oh my gosh! Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for having us.
Coming in.
It's fun to get together, man.
I know.
Look at you.
Look at you. I love the shirt.
Thank you.
Well done. Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you. On point today.
This has been so great. Are you kidding me? I saw Laverne yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, so many writers that are all now running their own worlds.
I'm sure. Uh-huh.
Mike Schur and Brent Forrester, Claire Scanlon.
Oh, I love Claire.
And Jenna, Angela, and Rain. We've done so much. It's just so fun
it's
to
so
see
amazing.
Everybody.
So
I
nice
know.
To see you.
It's
oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's so nice.
But it's amazing. I was out, and I had my jacket on that we got. Season 5 or 6 or something. And all of a sudden, I was in a restaurant and this girl said, oh, I love your jacket. I said, do you watch the show? Oh, yes, we love The Office. It was a whole new generation.
Right.
I mean, anywhere from 13 to 35. I mean, it's a whole new group of people.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think they just identify with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is on Netflix now, and it's reruns.
And it's
so you can watch the entire series.
So I just think they get a character that they really like, and they identify with them, and it just has snowballed. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about, and part of what I'm going back and looking at is, you know, we were the top scripted show on NBC,
yes,
for a long time.
Yeah,
but the show now is bigger than it was then
really
through Netflix.
Big.
And I'm just like, I don't know. What do you think? Just people identifying with the characters?
Yeah, I just, you know.
Season two, it hit its prime.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it really excelled.
It did. It really did.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to see what was Steve going to do next.
Right. Well,
and the whole cast of characters, really.
And the whole cast of characters.
You never know what they're going to do or say.
No, because we were just laughing before you came in, talking about Kim, when she called me about the show, she said, Debbie, you know, I'm going to do this little show called The Office. You know, it's just about five actors, you know, a couple girls and
seems so simple.
You know. Can what you think? Come and join me and let's do this. I said okay. I'll call you tomorrow. So I did. I said, yeah, Kim, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that with you. And then this little show blew up into this mega, you know,
hit. It was a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said the show hit its prime in season two. Is that because that's when you guys came on?
Yes.
Is it you're
exactly
responsible
right,
for it?
Exactly right.
And you know, we didn't have any budget either. We were so, do you remember we were literally throwing like a can of hairspray to each other across over the actors' heads. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had no budget.
No.
We barely had supplies.
Yes. And I was buying stuff from my own pocket.
And then Kim would go to set. And I would be in the trailer. So I had to do all the guest actors and everybody that came by. So all of a sudden, we looked at each other. We said, this is getting to be
bigger than we thought.
So, you know, then after, you know, was it season three or four that we were able to get?
Season three, we got another additional person.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of our one. But remember, we would take breaks, too.
Yeah,
we would shut down. And then we didn't know if the show was going to come back in season two. Remember that?
Right.
And they'd be like, okay, hey, we got another six. Let's just do these six.
We're right.
Great. Okay, we'll be back. Great.
Yeah.
And then it would shut down again. And it was really confusing,
season two.
Yeah.
But it made it through.
That must have been hard. From a crew perspective, to you know, like we did that first six of season two, and then we went
away, and we had
no idea if we were coming back or not. Yeah,
you know, and then and that's real tricky because people need to know where their money is going to come from.
Of course, yeah.
And so you get scared that you lose your crew because you know you don't want people.
Yeah,
they'll go to other shows, you know, and stuff. But we were blessed. We were blessed. We kept our crew pretty much together. I mean, there were a few people that had to leave and stuff, but we were blessed all the way to the end.
Yeah. What do you think was, so we were going for a very realistic look, moving away from what television was at that time, if you think about Friends and stuff. Did that present challenges or did that make it easier?
No, it presented challenges.
In what way?
Especially for me. Well, you know, both of us, you work in a salon too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we both worked in salons, you know, prior to getting into film and television. But, you know, when you see a person and something looks array, you know, out of whack and stuff, you immediately want to go over there and do something. And also with the makeup, I'm sure Laverne probably told you, you want to at least have a little color to a person and everything. So, yeah, it presents a challenge. And so it was funny because
the second season, though, you were all having your own makeup and your own stuff. We weren't touching them. You're forgetting
touching
that
up.
Because they were getting their own touch-ups at their own station and they had it there.
Right.
And we would be sitting, waiting.
That's waiting.
We would not go in that second season.
That
was per Paul Feig, per Greg Daniels.
Yeah, but that was hard.
It was you guys that were touching yourselves up and we would see you at lunch.
Little makeup compacts
right?
in our dress.
And then, I think
season three.
Okay.
Season three, we were able to then actually go in and start doing touch-ups on you. But season two, it was very.
I remember going in
different.
I probably wasn't supposed to, but
you did not. We did not go in.
We didn't go in at all.
Season two. It did not happen.
Okay, well maybe it was season three.
I remember.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I remember Ken Kwapis was talking to me about.
Okay.
He said that there was, and this was before you, but on the pilot and moving forward as they were sort of establishing the look. Mm-hmm. And Ken went to all of the heads of department and said, anything that you would get fired on some other show are the things that we want. So like if a hair is out of place, if a lighting isn't quite right, if we don't have a, a perfect framed shot on an actor, that's all good. We want those little mistakes to make it, you know, feel more real. Yeah. And that's kind of what you were told too, right? Like the hair did not have to match.
Yeah. I mean, originally I was offered the first six episodes, but I was still working on another show, so I couldn't do it. But I wish.
I wish you had.
I couldn't.
Because when we came in second season, everything changed. The whole look of the cast changed.
In what way?
Well, Steve
For Steve, for sure. I had,
because he was very severe on that first season. And Kim softened him up. It looked great.
Yeah, so what was the direction? We've talked a lot about that, about, you know, feeling like if we were a show that's going to go on for longer than a season or two, that Michael, we needed to find some redeeming values in him. And they started writing in short ways, and his look changed.
Well, he also, he had gone through, you know, the Virgin. So he basically had lost a lot of weight, too, and looked a bit different than we did at first.
Yes.
But I remember coming in and having a meeting with him and in the trailer, actually, and just discussing with him, you know, I watched the first six episodes when I knew I was going to get second season. And I told him I really, you know, they wanted him to look like Gordon Gekko. That was like his look, technically. Yeah. That's what they designed it for.
Slicked back.
It was very slick. And but it was too, for me, it was too greasy and too slick and and not so flattering and severe. Right. So I told him, like, I really want to make a big change and I want to discuss it with you. And I did that pretty much with a lot of the actors, just kind of asking them, you know, how do you feel and what do you want? And then let's incorporate this. And then I can pitch it to Greg because he did have the final say over looks and things. And he was really great though. I mean, he would always listen to us. And if we really wanted to push one kind of look or one certain thing, it was okay. And he would always come around. So that was great. I really appreciated his thought.
Yeah. So doing that, trying to create that very sort of realistic look ultimately is more difficult than sort of that high fashion.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, it was easy. It was casual. It was casual.
You're
supposed to look like real people. So they can be a little disheveled. I mean, it's almost easier because you're not doing the high-end glam stuff. We're not putting on these, you know, when I was doing Pretty Little Liars, like they have all this hair, you have all this makeup, you have all this wardrobe. We didn't really have that. So it wasn't.
Except for when we were doing special shows.
Yeah, when we did the Halloween episodes. Halloween episodes were always tricky. But I loved it though. I did every single wig on that show. The entire time.
Yeah. And I remember even the Halloween episodes, if you think of other shows that have Halloween episodes. The makeup, the hair, like everything should look perfect, right?
Yes.
But Greg, I remember there was a discussion about him saying, well, but these are real people who are dressing up for their office, so it's not going to look perfect.
Correct. He was very adamant about that. These aren't people that are going to spend huge amounts of money. They just want to throw like a cheap, he's like, make sure it's a cheap, simple wig that someone would buy off of, you know, a basic store. It's not like a whole thing. Although, we got a little more into that when, you know, Rain and Creed and they start, we started with the wigs and it got a little better as we went further. But in the beginning, it was definitely. And I would do show and tells for him. I would walk upstairs. I would present the wigs because he would give me an idea of, you know, I want, you know, Mindy to have this. I want, you know, Rain to have this. And he would kind of give me some ideas to go with. And then I would present it to him. So I would carry it up and go to the writers room.
Right.
I try to make sure not many writers were in there so that it was just kind of him and I wouldn't get too many opinions because it gets lost. But it was great though. The collaboration was fun and they were always open to it. And it was fun to be in there and watch them like laugh at this stuff and be like, oh, that's going to be so great. Or it's going to be so good on them. It was fun.
Do you feel there was more collaboration on The Office than other shows?
Yes, absolutely. I think what I love about Greg is that he, even if he wanted to discuss it, like he would listen. And he would hear your side of it. It wasn't in other shows where they're just like, no, we want it like this. So, you know, he's such a kind person. And he would kind of stroll into our trailer sometimes and just wander around,
and look,
which I love.
Yeah.
And see what we were doing.
Right. And I'd be like, you need anything? He's like, no. And he'd just like walk through. I'm like, need a haircut or anything? He's like, you know, sure. I'm like, great. He'd sit down. Like sometimes he'd just, you know, randomly come in. But he's such a good person, but he trusts the people that he hired. And that's what I respect, and that's what I really appreciated about him.
Yeah. It's, what do they say? He's smart enough to know what he doesn't know, you know, like he, you know, like.
And get the people that do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you said that quote about Steve in a way too? What was it?
Of the leader is the speed of the game.
Mm. What does that mean?
I told Steve that.
Yeah.
My girlfriend gave me that quote, meaning that the person that is up front is who has the, you know, the authority and the wherewithal.
And the responsibilities.
And the responsibilities.
He was our leader.
They're the leaders, and then the gang follows. So whoever is up front, they're going to look at that person. That's what keeps us together, the leader.
Yeah. Do you think Steve was a good leader?
Yeah, I do.
Great leader.
A great leader.
So, Debbie, when Steve left, I was reminded a lot of people went around from different departments and told stories about Steve.
Yeah.
And three different people have told me one story,
mm-hmm.
which was the story that you told. It was about him. You were in a van.
Yes. Steve was quite a gentleman. And at that time, nobody really knew, but I was going through a situation with my hip. I was in a lot of pain, and getting up and down on the van was very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kim and all the gang, you know, they kind of knew. And so they would let me sit in the front when we would go on location and stuff. So this one day, we were all gathering into the van, Steve and some of the actors. And I went to proceed to go in the back. And he looked at me. He goes, "Debbie, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm letting you stay." He said, "You go and take that seat." And I just thought that was such a kind thing, because he's the star of the show. And he always did. He would stand there at that van. He would hold the door and help us in the van. You know, I said, some mamas raised a nice young man.
Yeah. But that's how he was, right?
That's how like he was.
Yeah.
But he did that with everybody.
He
like
did.
Even, you know what I mean? Even just like he would wait, and some other people would just go to their trailers.
Right.
But
he always
stood there and helped every single woman down, every single man
down. Yeah. And yeah, so that meant much to me. And it was funny because we came back, I think it was toward the end, and he said, "How you doing, Debbie?" I said, "I'm doing fine. Since I've seen you, I got a new hip."
She's bionic now. I call her Jamie Summers.
And since then, I've got another new hip. So.
Telling you, bionic.
I am the bionic woman, for sure.
I was talking to Laverne about what people don't realize is the hair and makeup trailer is
the place where everybody comes. You can make or break a show in the makeup and hair trailer. I'm serious.
You can make or break a show.
Yes, sir.
In what way?
Well, because
the way the environment is created.
The way the environment is created, because when actors come in the morning.
Yeah.
That early in the morning.
It needs to be a calm, safe place.
It has to be calm and a safe place that they know. They can come in. They can, you know, study their lines. They can just relax. And you, as you work, you get to know your actors. You get to know when they're feeling okay and when they're not. You get to know when you can talk to them and laugh and joke. And you get to know when you need mm-hmm. to shut up and don't say nothing.
Exactly. Walk away.
And you need to walk away. I mean, or, you know, just give them their mm-hmm. space.
Right.
Yeah.
So I told a producer that one time on another show. I said, you know, you got to know that it starts right in here. We create an atmosphere and give them a place of safety, a safe place.
A very safe place, hopefully.
And a kind place. We might play music that's soothing so that they can get into character and give them the performance that you need.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting. I haven't really thought about this before, but just hearing you talk, just go with me for a second.
Yes,
maybe this is bad, but when you hear some of what you're saying, the thing that is occurring to me is that you don't realize that as an actor, you're being poked and prodded kind of for mm-hmm. 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like there's no, in no other sort of business are there people up in your business?
In your business, yeah.
Right? For like 12 hours. It's like, unzip your pants, take off your pants, let's run this wire up your leg, onto your chest, onto your skin. You know, someone's touching your face and touching your hair, right? And there are times where like, you're trying to work on a scene, you're trying to do something, and it's just like poke, 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 poke. And so, yeah, like the necessity to have an environment, especially first time that we're just getting ready, like sort of like, stay away, jackals. Let's, you know, let's at least start the day. We have to do these things, but let's try to create an environment that doesn't create sort of high stress and high anxiety from the very beginning.
Yeah. Well, will you try to feel your actors, and when you go, you might look up and, Brian, do you need anything? And you'll say, no. And I'll say, okay, back off and go to the next person.
Right.
You know, so we try to respect that because we know that that is a thing where somebody's coming at you all the time.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, okay, I need a break here.
Right.
Yeah. And it's especially, I would say, for continuity photos, too. Yes. I know we had that thing up there. You'd have to stand there. We'd do all four sides.
Oh,
it's something
that
we have to do. And I know it's got to be annoying when you're,
I know.
Totally
and
understand. We do. But we have to do our job, too, because this is stuff we have to submit.
Absolutely.
This is what we have to turn in. This is going to be a record.
Because sometimes it's a question, was that curl this way or was it that? And then that's come
it's
up.
Continuity.
It's
sure.
continuity.
Yeah.
But basically, you guys were really, really good. I mean, you were really good.
Very
patient. And I went to another show and somebody told me. Phyllis was on another show.
Okay.
And she went in and the guy said, I need to take your picture. Phyllis got up there. She said, She turned all the way around. And the guy said, Debbie, she did all four sides. I said, she was trained well.
We trained her so well.
So well.
I'm going to call her today.
It was hilarious.
That's
he
so
said,
funny.
Debbie, did Phyllis just turned around? She didn't squawk about anything. I said, that's because we had to do that.
Right, Deb.
Yeah,
well, we had such a large cast.
And it just
Got bigger and bigger.
Each season, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
So many people to track and have to take care of.
Yes.
Indeed.
We had to keep a book.
Yeah. Laverne talked about the battle plan.
The battle plan.
Yeah.
That was important every day.
Yeah, what
every
was that?
Day.
That is something that the 80s would make for us, and we'd have basically a chart. And it would have, like, at the top of it, it would be, you know, Kim, and then who I do, and then Debbie, and who she does, down the line.
Right.
And then there was a makeup side as well. So we could really know and understand who was going where at what time, because it was so many people getting through the works.
So many people who had to be out on set first. And then when it was, like, everybody had to be out on set, well, that was, you know, we had to whip everybody through.
Yeah, but we got them through.
We did. All the time.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
We did.
Who were the actors that you principally took care of?
I did Steve, John, Jenna, Angela, BJ, Mindy, Mike.
That's a lot already.
And Mike Schur.
Yeah.
When he was, yeah.
And then you.
And I did Phyllis. I did you. Mm-hmm. I did
Kate,
Oscar, and Leslie.
Yeah.
And then guest stars. We split them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved Idris when he came.
I bet you did. Everybody loved Idris.
Everybody loved Idris.
Everyone was like, Debbie.
I didn't even know he was British.
Debbie, his hair is fine. Why are you still messing with his hair?
No.
Debbie.
Need a little more
time.
That's
so funny.
Need a little more time.
Debbie, get your hands.
She'd be blushing.
Get your hand off Idris's hair, Debbie.
Okay, it's fine.
Professional, Debbie.
He was a nice guy. He was really a nice guy.
So nice.
But you took care of, you both worked on it, but kind of the biggest, I think, I can't think of really anything bigger. Hair additions throughout the series became Kevin's toupee.
I almost brought that today.
Did you really?
I thought about it because it's in my storage unit.
Oh my gosh.
I literally driving here, I go,
yes.
I should have gone and I would have presented it to you so you could pet it one more time.
Oh my
that
gosh.
I'll bring it back for you.
Yes. Monumental.
Yeah. I just posted a picture on my Instagram. Hold on. But it's like the picture of you when I was first trying it on you. Remember? And Jenna and Oscar came up.
Okay.
And they're just like, they were making fun of you. And we were like, they were heckling him, but he was standing strong.
He was standing strong.
That on.
But honey, he put that on and then he did. His whole thing changed.
Uh-huh. Yes. I think it was supposed to be just a gag for the wedding.
Yes, it was a gag for the
and
wedding.
And then it
came back.
Then it kept reappearing.
It reappeared.
It came back.
So you guys come in season two. We're struggling. Then at the end of that season, we get picked up fairly early for a full third season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And The Office wins the Emmy for Best Comedy. Do you remember those feelings, or did you feel like, well, we've got job security now? Or, you know, what was the feeling around there as we shifted from a little engine that maybe couldn't, but did. Yeah.
Do you remember? I remember this because this was when, for the Emmys, all the girls came in that day to the trailer. And they had cheese and crackers and we had champagne and it was us doing them in our trailer where, you know, everyone else is going to high end, you know, salons and they're probably getting everything done. But all the girls wanted to be together. And it was so sweet. It was such a fun morning. And it was just us doing their hair and everyone was excited and they were happy and it was giddy.
And we were excited for them.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. And they were like eating and drinking. We were doing champagne and we're like, wow, what if you guys like, you're going to win. We're going to win. It's going to happen. And then. It did. And then we saw the pictures and it was just, what a great moment.
Incredible.
It was like a victory for our little show that could, really.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
I mean,
that
after
all the ladies came and
in the trailer. On our lot. Like literally in the trailer.
In the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then things went well for a while. And then there was the writer's strike.
Yes.
What are your memories of that time?
Well, it was, you know, everybody was like up in the air about whether we're going to have jobs or not. And we went down for what, like
100 days.
Well, yeah, it did. But the first day we didn't want to cross because the writers were there, literally the whole cast. As we were standing there, I remember BJ, you know, you had the fence, right, that we had. And he was on the other side of it. And I was like, I don't want to cross either. I'm union. We're all union.
Yeah, we're all union.
And he's like, it's okay. I'm like, it's not okay. And I remember getting choked up, like, I don't want to do this to you. You guys are my family. Like, I don't want to pass. And he said, no, look, they're telling you to cross.
Yeah.
And so we sat on the stage and just waited.
And we just waited. Because there was nothing else we could do.
Yeah. I think about 6-7 hours later, they said, you can go home.
I remember we went, I think that I never got in hair and makeup. I guess there were a couple of talking heads that were shot, that could be shot.
Yeah, but it wasn't much.
Nope, there wasn't much, no. Mm-mm. And I remember being there as well because at a certain point we weren't sure what was happening.
So I got sort of paused.
It was so awkward, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a mom of two young kids and I was the person supporting my household, it was terrifying. But I will never forget Greg Daniels and his wife writing a check. Remember that? For $1,000 to every – $1,000 or $1,200?
$1,000. It was $1,000.
For every family.
Every family.
I was floored.
I was
floored. Because that made such a difference to my household.
I went to the mail that day and, you know, people were sending Christmas cards and stuff. And so I looked at the cards and then I saw this card from Greg Daniels. I'm going, oh, isn't that nice? He did thought of us. And so I open up the card and I'm reading and then I see this check. And I didn't really look at it really clearly at first. You know, and I said, oh, how sweet. I thought it was $100. I looked and then I started counting the zeros. And I said, oh my God, I'm telling you, I almost literally peed on myself. I was like, oh my God, I could not believe it. But I told that story to quite a few of my friends who worked on other shows, and they were like, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, the producer and the actors, because you guys came after the strike was over when we came back, and you gave us like $2,000 a piece to the whole crew. That was unheard of. That was simply unheard of. It was such a blessing to all of us because many people had families like him And they needed to know they had some sort of security in what they were going to do. I mean, because other shows were down also. Yeah. So this was such a blessing. And we'll never forget it.
Because we were family.
Yeah.
At that point, we absolutely were family.
That's mm-hmm. absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah. You felt it. I mean, Greg, you know, the caterers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what show
oh my God.
Has the same caterers for 9 years? Eventually, someone's like,
we did,
right?
We loved them.
Those guys burned in a good way.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, he didn't ever want to change it up. He had loyalty to everyone
Absolutely.
Who was there. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he definitely
did. Those guys were so good. We ate well. They treated us good.
Oh my gosh. They would even remember, they would put up on our, like, if you they knew that you liked a certain thing, they made like a name of my burrito
yes,
or something.
Yes.
Like, try Kim's burrito.
That's
I'm like,
true.
Awesome.
That's true. That's
right.
True.
I still have pictures of those menus.
That's true.
That's right.
And we had the best craft service at Peter.
God
bless
Peter,
God bless.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah. You started to talk about this a little before, but just how hair changed over the course of the show, like specifically with Pam or with Kelly. What were the decisions that were made? Were you softening Pam or what happened?
It depended on what episode we were doing. Again, originally in the beginning, they were supposed to be very simple, very plain, you know, regular day people. But as some people became producers of the show, then they had an actual say more in what I could do for them. So you'll see the evolution of, you know, Pam's hair, for instance, where she was very kind of messy and it was a scrunchy thing.
Just kind of pulled back, right, in the beginning?
And she had that clip in all the time.
The clip, that's right.
And then literally in season two, and I remember her talking about this because I listened to her podcast, but she said, you know, Kim was so happy for the first time ever she was able to have all of her hair down. Which was true, because we had had it, you know, in a clip with the scrunchie, and it was just, and she has this natural curl, and we got to kind of smooth it out and make it a little more fun and a little more designed. And same thing with Angela, you know, originally her character was, she's supposed to be very severe, she's very uptight, she doesn't really care as much, she just wants, you know, she's all business. So that was true in the first few, but then as that evolved as well, then she had her hair in a ponytail, and then sometimes she'd have it down, and then I did the Angela braid on her, which was really fun, and that little headband braid, and so she got to be a little softer, but also her character was softening. So I think it kind of played with how they, you know, what their direction was as they're falling in love with different people, or they're meeting new people, or kind of that course of it just going forward. But and same thing with Steve when I first met him. We changed his hair immediately, and he was really on board, too. So that kind of stayed, and he kind of kept that same look for him the whole time.
Right.
But, again, there were a lot of hair gags. There was gum in his hair. I remember that day I had to have peanut butter on my hands for 12 hours, and it was just insane. So, you know, every gag had its thing. And even the big thing with Kate and having her head shaved, was 4 weeks of prep for me. Because I had to plan, you know, she needed to be bald, so we needed a specialist. And then he ended up, you know, doing the bald cap for her, but I had to build hair pieces for her. And we had to do tests, and we had to do another test, and then a third test. And then, remember, you guys were, like, grabbing the hair.
Right.
And, you know, I had to teach her, and I had to shave. I had to get a certain clipper, and then I had to modify the clipper just so it wouldn't tear if she was pushing it back because it was so thin. So you have to make sure it's not going to tear, like— There was so many variables to that.
Wow.
It was 4 weeks of prep just for that gag. But everybody thought she actually shaved her head, which was pretty great.
And, you know, and Kate has really healthy hair.
So much hair.
So much hair.
To make that flat, my gosh.
Yeah.
It took me 45 minutes to do the actual wrap to get her head underneath. And then, it was a lot. Which was fun, though. I loved that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that Greg would challenge me. And he was happy each time, which was great. So,
right. Was there ever any discussion about Pam's hair changing based on where she was with her relationship with Jim?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
What about that?
As she was kind of, they were kind of falling for each other, she got a lot more softer. So we got rid of all the her natural curl and we started doing like blow dries and then we started doing curls and waves and something very soft because she was kind of falling in love with this person and same thing for him. So it definitely changed for her at that point.
Right. So did you leave before the end?
I sadly did few days. Because as the show was ending, right, Greg kept adding, and then he added another week, and then he added another week. And what I had set up was that I was going to be going to show Pretty Little Liars, actually. And I had gotten that job, but it was literally like a month and a half away. So I thought, well, fine. I'll take a little time off, you know, and then I'll just hop on this other show. And then he like booked another week. And I'm like, well, and I even told production too, this is getting nervous because then it pushed again. And I was like, wow, this is really getting close. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little nervous, but they're like, no, it's never going to go over that. And then I remember literally the Sunday night that we were wrapping, or I wrapped, we still had a couple more days.
Yeah.
It was like 3 more days or something. I think you did. I don't remember. But I was devastated because I really wanted to be there. That was my show.
Toward the end. Yeah.
I lived that show for 10 years, basically, you know, on and off with seasons that we would go down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. It was really hard for me to not be there those last few days. And I know that it was a whole thing with everyone there and everyone came back and I felt really left out. I'm not going to lie. It was sad.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that was, I lived that show for so long. And it was all of my friends, and I wish I could have been there. I know Debbie took over, and she ran it, you know, those last few days, and I knew she would do a great job. But it was really hard because I then, you know, started Sunday night. I wrapped, I think it was like 12:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And then Monday morning, I went in at 7 a.m. to load into the next trailer and worked, you know, that week as a prep week and then went right into that show. So I didn't get a break, but I really hate that I missed those last few days.
Yeah, those were.
But they would send me pictures and they were communicating.
Yeah, was something. Yeah. I mean, to see a show that you've been with all that many years and
it's your baby.
The people, it was your baby, I mean, we were there from the beginning and, you know, people came, people went, but we were still there and to see it all come to an end, it was just. Kind of heart-wrenching.
It is, yeah. My kids would come and visit.
Yes.
And I had that picnic table in the back, if you remember, because I would just want to sit with them privately. And every time, all the actors and more, I'm like, no, you don't, you know, like, I don't. They would come up, they would pick up the kids, they would take them to craft service, get them off. It was so sweet. Like, it was such a great, I don't know if you'll ever have another show like that. I really, I don't know. Do you? I mean, it was such a different show than anything I've ever been on.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And I still am in touch with Angela. And I've been, you know, I'm hopefully going to go to their podcast and hang with them for a minute. But,
That's
you know,
great.
It was so nice to see Creed in Vegas. And then I've seen Kate doing some shows. And it's, we're still in touch.
Well, Angela.
Still there.
Yeah.
You know?
I did this crazy show for Hulu, Housewives or something.
Yeah, the Hot Wives of
Hot
Las Vegas.
Yeah. And,
are you kidding?
No, I'm not. And I went and they would telling me who was going to be on it. And I saw Angela. And so I said, well, you know, we're not going to tell it until we had to meet with the actors. And so when I walked in, her face just lit up to Debbie. And we hugged each other. It was just wonderful. She said, I didn't know you were going to be here.
Oh, that's a good surprise.
Yeah, it was a good surprise. And so we were able to, you know, work everything out. It was just, you know, like old home week. It was great.
Gosh, I it's just, to me, it's crazy. Like these, I mean, ordinary is a nice way to say it, but a lot of ordinary looking people on this show, middle-aged office workers, even though the characters are universal, the fact that so many kids are into it now.
My kids are into this show now. You know how weird that is for me? They
love
it.
They love it.
Everett has a Dunder Mifflin shirt. He has Dunder Mifflin pants. Like, he says, oh my God, all my friends in high school, they love that show. Like,
how old is
Everett? You know, it makes me kind of cool.
Yes, you are cool.
Yeah.
How old is Everett?
He is 15 and he's 6'4 now.
Oh my God.
6'4.
Oh my goodness.
And Connor just passed me. Who's 13. It's
Punky
nuts.
Baby.
They were tiny.
They were little tiny.
Do they remember anything about being there?
They remember craft service.
Okay.
Right. Mostly craft service.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they can get
all my friends, teenagers and young adults are into it. All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're like you said, if you wear anything that has like my jacket or
if
I have
my jacket
hat,
on or something,
people walk by, they're like, right on, you know. It's like
they
a
stop
thing.
You and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember we did the thing out in we were at the country club somewhere in West LA. It was a golf thing.
Okay. Oh yes, yes.
Remember
oh,
that
golf thing? Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we were going back and forth, and there were huge crowds of young people, teenagers, that were like so excited
about,
that,
the show.
About the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Even then, young, it appealed to a young audience.
Yes.
It feels even younger
now. And their parents, though.
And
I think it appealed to everybody.
It appealed, I'm telling you, from 13 on up.
Is your 13-year-old into it or more the 16?
He was watching it for a while.
Yeah.
But then he's kind of switched into some other stuff. So he goes back to it. But Everett is excited that he has stuff from the show, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
6'4". Oh my
goodness. I know, Deb. Oof. 6'4".
Let me ask you one more question.
What? 5 now.
Why would you choose to work in film and television as opposed to like a salon?
Okay, I can tell you what it is for me.
Okay.
As a little girl, I used to watch television and old movies. I loved old movies. You know, Clark Gable, Myrna Loy, whoever, Gary Cooper, Sidney Poitier,
Gene Kelly,
Fred Astaire. Ooh, oh my God, Rosalind Russell. So it was just a dream of mine. And I guess as I grew up and I just started realizing what God gave me as a gift, which was doing hair. I tell you, my mother would give me dolls every year. And by the time the end, she'd get up Christmas, by the time June came, they were bald headed because I'd have curled them and twisted them and
cut them. Out they go and into the new.
And with the new. So I guess when I came out here, it was a goal of mine to get into film and television. That wasn't an easy thing. But I just kept pursuing, and but it wasn't my timing. It was God's timing. And one day, he opened up a door for me, and I went through.
Yeah.
And oh, my God, it's just been wonderful. But I wanted to work in film. And I worked in the salon. I had a very successful career in the salon. When I got ready to leave, my clients were like, what? You're leaving me, you know?
You're a platform artist too.
Yes,
right?
I was a platform artist. Yeah. I worked for Revlon for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had different phases of the beauty industry, but this was and is my favorite. Yeah. I've been blessed to work on some really great shows, meet some really good people. This one here, now I just got to say how much I love and care about her.
I know what you're going to say.
When we started this show, and you're going to have to excuse me. When we started the show, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I told Kimmy, I said, Kim, I know that, you know, you need to have somebody that's going to be around and help you and do and all. And, you know, I'm going to have to go and take care of this. And I appreciate you letting me work with you so far, but I know you're going to need to get somebody else. And she said to me, Debbie Pierce,
I will not let you go.
That's what
because you're going to need those hours and you're going to need that to get through this. So I will cover your shift every night and you will go to therapy and you will take care of yourself so you survive this. And I will do anything you need.
And she did. She brought in some people temporarily to help. And then I went, all you guys.
Wouldn't let you quit.
She wouldn't let me quit. I went treatment for 2.5 months. I left every day after touch-ups.
Yeah, like two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like two, and I went to Daniel Freeman, which is no more in L.A., in Inglewood, and I took my treatment. I had my surgery, I took my treatment, and I came back to work, and you guys, you know, were so kind and loving to me, and I appreciate that so much to this day. I just love this one. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're still here kicking it, girl. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We did the right thing.
Yeah, we did.
Well, how does it feel knowing you were a little girl watching Clark Gable and Fred Astaire, and you grew up and became an important part of television history yourself?
Brian, I can't tell you what a feeling that is. The last 2 years, 2018 and 19, I worked on a couple of projects that were nominated for Emmys. And I got nominated along with those projects. And I was just floored because here's this little Black girl from Yonkers, New York, who watched all those people on the movies and television and everything. And now I have an opportunity to be in that arena and do the work. I was honored. I was thrilled. I was humbled. I was thanking my God that I was able to have this opportunity to do what I love to do. It was amazing. It was amazing. So I'm still in awe. You know, I worked on a thing a couple weeks ago. They were doing a thing with Perry Mason.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. They're doing a Perry Mason, which is a period. They're doing it when he was a young lawyer.
Oh, that's okay.
Cool. Yeah, it was very cool. They did it. Then we did the 30s and all. Mm-hmm. So that was wonderful for me. And that was the great thing about, you know, having opportunities to go back and do periods that you grew up seeing.
Yeah, you love it. It's fun hair to do.
It's just fun hair to do, you know? And even when we did stuff on the show, doing different wigs and stuff to, you know, whatever characters and all. We did Ferrell.
Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did Will Ferrell and...
You remember Fred Astaire, but not Will Ferrell.
Isn't that funny? Sorry, Will. No, I do.
Such a lovely man.
Such a lovely man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We did some fun things. Phyllis's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of?
Honestly, I would say The Office. I really would. It was such a great show. It seemed in the beginning we had so many challenges and it just wasn't gonna go. But we stuck with it.
Yeah.
And then it just like slowly got this falling. And actually, I remember, and I've said this to other people, remember when you guys had MySpace?
Yes.
Where before Facebook,
yes,
they all went out. And I remember like Jenna and John and like all of you were going and saying, you know, we want to be on Carson, we want to go on these shows, and you put yourself out there. And I feel sincerely that that's what saved the show. Because you were, you know, in a time where we didn't have, I mean, social media how it is today is
right.
Crazy. But back then, you were physically going to shows. You were going on MySpace. You understood that we could reach more people. And I think that helped float it.
Yeah.
And then it turned it.
Yeah. I mean, we were definitely we were struggling so much. And we all felt like it could end at any moment.
Right.
Yeah, there was a very active campaign by the actors to say, like, let's see if we can keep this going a little bit longer, just because we felt like
it was a good show and it was worth it. You put in the work, you actually put in the work, and that's what turned everything around.
Yeah,
it did, it really did. Uh-huh. And I think, yes, like I said, season two, I think it found it the footing of it and it kind of excelled and it took on a life of its own. And I think that's really what held it together. And I knew they. Within a few weeks, we're like, yeah, I really did.
Yeah.
And it just went forever, which was awesome. So it was nice to have that long of a run. And through the whole process, too, what was cool is that people are getting married. People are buying cars for the first time. People are buying houses then.
And everything.
And, you know, so it kind of, it was such a cool thing to see everybody, you know, moving into the different stages of,
you know,
what,
of life.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole 30s was spent there.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I mean, that's a decade. I mean, you
know. It was a decade of our lives.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
That's why it's so sentimental and it's so, it meant so much. It was such a great show.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming to talk to me.
Oh,
it was our pleasure. You both so much.
It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you.
I will get your hairpiece to you, and we'll just try it on someday. I'll bring it.
You know, I just wore a really, really bad one for the first time since then. Like
really bad.
Yes. I mean, it was sort of intentionally. It was a movie that took place in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And it had kind of a, what is it? Jimmy Swaggart, like Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
Kind of a, they showed me a picture of the idea, which was like, kind of a Sam Donaldson with that like strong
oh my goodness.
Line
edge
and
there,
with the hair. Yeah. So it wasn't necessarily supposed to look good. I don't know. I haven't seen the dailies. We'll see if it, if that works, if it works like somewhat believably, because there's, but yeah, it comes off.
Yeah. Let us know
later in
help.
The movie. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I know.
Wait, can we get a picture of the three of us?
Yes. Together? Okay. Can we get a photo of me and them? Oh, my gosh.
It's really good to see you, man.
So good to see you. Oh, how much fun did I have. Debbie and Kim, thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed talking to you. And let me just say, I am so glad that you decided to join the TV biz and leave your beauty salons. I don't know what we would have done without you. And listeners, I don't know what we would do without you. So thank you so much for listening. You know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one listens, did we make this podcast? I don't know. But I hope you have a magnificent week. And I am going to see you next time for another episode of The Office Deep Dive. The Office Deep Dive is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Leng Lee. Our senior producer is Tessa Kramer. Our producers are Diego Tapia and Liz Hayes. My main man in the booth is Alec Moore. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by my great friend Cree Bratton. And the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.